The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he's still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. A few hours ago, in St. Peter's Square, Pope Leo canonized the two newest saints in our Catholic Church, St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. Now, Carlo Acutis, he's probably well known to a lot of you. He's gotten a lot of attention over the past few years, probably because he's from the millennial generation, contemporary of ours, born in 1991. Poor guy only lived to be 15 years old. But the other saint, St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, he's not anything like nearly as well known, and we need to take a closer look at him, because he lived an extraordinary life. Let's take a closer look. St. Pier Giorgio Frassati was born in Italy, Turin to be specific. The year was 1901, and he was born to every advantage and every privilege, very well-to-do family, which allowed him to pursue such hobbies as mountaineering and competitive skiing. Sharp mind, quick wit, strong bank account, great family, and it didn't hurt that he looked like he could have been a model for Abercrombie and Fitch, if such had existed at the time. Which is another way of saying, he was a man who didn't need God at all. He could have been perfectly content, or so he thought, resting upon his very healthy bank account and his strong inventory of personal skills, abilities, and talents. But then something happened. Somehow, God broke through. Somehow, the Holy Spirit spoke to that young man's heart and convicted him that a life lived for yourself is a wasted life. That a life lived in pursuit of your hobbies, your dreams, and your amusement is a wasted life. Three things in particular he realized. That love means taking responsibility for someone else, being of service to someone else, and centering your life on the Lord. He began to take his faith very, very seriously, started going to daily Mass, and his father was none too pleased. His father was a hardened atheist and didn't want any of this superstitious Catholicism taking place under his roof. So what he did was he snuck out of the house early in the morning, went to the church, attended Mass, came back under cover of darkness, crawled into his room through the window, and pretended to be starting the day fresh so they could get to daily Mass every day. He had a most unusual way of evangelizing. He was an ace with a pool cue. And he would go into the city, to some of the worst parts of town, and find the seediest pool halls, go up to the grungiest man, and say, I bet you 10,000 lira that I can beat you in a game of pool. Man would turn to him and say, I don't have 10,000 lira. It was a lot of money at the time. He said, I'll tell you what. If you can beat me in a game of pool, I'll pay you 10,000 lira. But if I win, you got to come to Mass with me every day for a week. They say he never lost a bet. Going home, he found a poor man who didn't have enough to eat, gave him the money that he would have spent for himself for his train ticket back home, and walked back home. And it got him to thinking that he could do that more often. And he did. And he started to give away food. He started to give away clothing. He started to give away money out of his own bank account. And by the time he came to his death, he was personally responsible for the well-being of 120 families in the area. Nobody knew it. He never talked about it. Just like our Lord said, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, lest someone see you and you get repayment. But you'll be known by your Heavenly Father, and He will repay you. Working among the poor meant working among disease. And he contracted polio, died at the age of 24. At his funeral, people lined the streets by the thousands to pay homage to their friend who helped them in the slums in an hour of need, showed them the face of God. Pier Giorgio Frassati canonized a saint this day by Pope Leo. Now, if I had to bet, I'd wager that if you went to ask him, if you had it to do all over again, would you do any differently? His answer would depend on how you asked. If you were to say, if you had it to do all over again, Pier Giorgio, if you could give away all that you own, contract an illness, suffer an untimely death at the age of 24, would you do it all over again? You'd say, no way, not a chance in the world. But if you'd said to him, Pier Giorgio, would you be willing to follow Christ wherever he leads? Even at the cost of giving away all that you own, even at the cost of your health, even at the cost of your own life, he would have said, yes. If he had it to do all over again, he probably would have done the exact same thing, except started even earlier and been even more generous. And you want to know why? Because that's the way love works. It gives and it gives and it gives until it comes to the point where it's giving everything that there is. Fair warning. Fair warning to you here today in church. The more you say yes to God, the more he will ask of you. Until he brings you to a point in which you're giving everything that you possibly can give. And if you understand that, then you already understand the very difficult words that we hear in our gospel today. Probably the most difficult words Jesus ever spoke anywhere in the gospel. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. What sense do you make out of that? My first thought was maybe it was mistranslated, right? So I went back to the original Greek text of the Gospel of Luke, where the word for hate is miso, and what you find there is that the word Jesus uses is miso. He actually says hate. What sense can you make out of a line like that, after all? Well, the first thing to understand is that great crowds were traveling with Jesus. One thing you'll notice in the scriptures, whenever Jesus is traveling with great crowds, brace yourself. He's about to launch his most difficult words. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, if a man divorces his wife and marries another, he commits adultery. And great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, woe to you who are rich, for your consolation is now. And woe to you who are filled, for you shall go hungry. And great crowds were pressing in on Jesus, and he turned and taught them at length, saying, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and easy the path, and many they are who travel it. But how narrow is the gate that leads to life, how difficult the road, and how few they are who find it. So great crowds are traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and he said, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, what sense do you make out of that? Well, here's one sense we can make out of it. Understand this. Jesus Christ is incarnate love. He is love itself, infinite and perfect. Everything Jesus says is perfect love. Everything Jesus does not say is perfect love. Everything Jesus does is perfect love. Everything Jesus does not do is perfect love. You can be absolutely certain of this. Love incarnate is not telling you to hate anybody, ever. Understand? Good. But there is something in the scriptures that makes sense of this. And it's not just found here. It's called Semitic hyperbole. Deliberate exaggeration for maximum rhetorical effect. And this is not the only instance. Jesus said to his apostles, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And in all of recorded history, we have never seen a mountain flying across the sky, heading to the sea, leaving in its path a cavernous hole where the mountain used to be. Semitic hyperbole, deliberate exaggeration for maximum rhetorical effect. And Jesus once said, if your eye is your undoing, gouge it out. Better for you to go through life maimed than to be thrown headlong into Gehenna. And if your foot is your undoing, chop it off. Better for you to go through life crippled than to be thrown headlong into Gehenna. And did you know that our church has actually passed definitive sentence on the meaning of that? There's a man who would have been canonized a saint, but wasn't canonized, because he took that passage literally. And the church wanted us to know that not everything Jesus said is meant to be taken literally. We need the guidance of the church to understand the scriptures. But whenever Jesus speaks in such a fashion, sit up and take notice, because it's very, very important. The love of God to which you are called comes at a price. The gospel is never on sale. There's no such thing as a discount Christianity. If you don't think you can pay the price, like the man who wasn't sure about the construction of the tower, don't get started. The meaning of this line is found in the very last words. Whoever does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. And that might just come up to and including the love and approval of the people in this life who you love the most. Now, how are you going to do that? You're going to clench your fists? You're going to strong will your strong arm your way into following Christ? No. There's one way and one way only that you do. You must replace it with an even greater love. Just like the lives of the saints show us. If you want to understand what it means to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, understand the more you say yes to the Lord, the more he asks, and the more you're willing to give until love conquers all. Most of us live our lives laboring under the illusion that I'll be happy when. Have you thought that to yourself before? All our lives long, we say this to ourselves. I'll be happy when I get into my dream college. I'll be happy when I graduate from my dream college. I'll be happy when I finally pay off my student loans. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I can finally afford a house. I'll be happy when I can finally pay off my mortgage. I'll be happy when I finally get my dream job. I'll be happy when I finally get promoted. I'll be happy when I can finally retire. One lifelong lie. You won't be happy when. You want to know why? Because you'll be happy when you love. That's what you were made for. And love always involves responsibility for somebody else, service to somebody else and a life centered on God. Apart from that, you simply won't find it. I had a friend once. He told me his big life dream. He says, I'm going to save up, I'm going to buy a yacht, and I'm going to circumnavigate the world. And this is my big dream. And I turned to him and I said, and when you're finished sailing, what do you hope to find? What do you hope to find at the end of the world? And he shot me a quizzical look. And I said, listen, don't waste your time. That's not where happiness is found. Happiness is found in giving. It would surprise so many people to realize that everything they need to be happy is right there in front of their face today. But ironically, it's not the kind of thing you can know just from hearing a priest give a homily. It's the kind of thing you have to choose for yourself. And when you do, you discover more and more and more how true it is. One of my favorite examples of this comes from a story in one of my favorite books, The Brothers Karamazov, by the Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky. Little scene in that book in which a very wealthy woman goes up to a very wise old priest. His name is Father Zossima. Kind of a figure of wisdom and peace and stability. She comes up to him and she says, Father, when I was a little girl, I had the most beautiful faith. But then I grew up and they told me that science explained everything and I lost my faith and I want to get my faith back. So I want you to prove to me that all this faith is true. Prove it to me. And he said, I can't do that. And she says, well, then I don't have any hope at all. And he goes, no, you do. Because there's a way that you can get it back. Practice Christian virtues. Give without counting the cost. Love unconditionally. Forgive all injuries. And the more you do, the more you will become to realize that all of it's true and nobody will need to convince you of anything. But it's not the kind of thing that you can learn just by being told. It's the kind of thing that we must learn by doing. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, he spent most of his life hearing confessions. He'd hear confessions 17, 18 hours a day. Somebody turned to him once and he says, Father, what have you learned from hearing all those confessions? And he said, I've learned that most people are not as happy as they appear to be. And a lot of people are much sadder than they seem until we learn this truth. It's a secret of living. Our very own patroness, St. Therese, once said, you cannot be half a saint. You must be entirely a saint or be no saint at all. There is no discount Christianity. The gospel is never on sale. The cost is always everything. Our Lord counsels us to believe it. And there's no better place to put his words into practice than right here. And there's no better time than right now.